A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. And if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And I want to hear from you. If you're new to the show, I'm a Christian apologist, and what we do here is answer questions on the Bible, prophecy, doctrine, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Atheism, UFOs. We talk about all kinds of things, and people talk or have all kinds of questions. Marriage, homosexuality, which reminds me, I've been doing some research on some stuff I want to release tomorrow. Got a debate tonight at 6:30, and I'll put the link and information up shortly before that on my CARM Facebook page. And hopefully it'll go well. It's with an atheist, and we're going to be, I don't know how it's going to work. It's going to be different. It's going to be, kind of a discussion debate, and we'll just have to find out how it goes. So anyway, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. And, hey, just to let you guys know, we have a prayer ministry. If you want prayer, you need prayer, all you got to do is, just email us. prayer@carm.org. Just prayer@carm.org, carm.org, carm.org, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. I did some calculations a couple of weeks ago, updated how many page views we've had. We've had 144 million, and every million or so, I'll do a count and update it. But the site's huge. It's 25 years old, and praise God, it's been just going through all kinds of changes. We've got a new website version up, and yes, it's slow, and yes, we know it. We are working on that. Just got a message from the tech guys about that. They're working on that. Usually there's a problem here and there, and it takes a bit to fix it, and we're going to work on other things as well. So I think that's about it. I can't think really of anything else to kind of get into. So I'll tell you what, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Dave from Kansas City. Dave, welcome. You are on the air.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say we give to your ministry. Time you come on, I pray for your ministry.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That is really appreciated. We definitely need the prayer. So really value that. Seriously, thanks. We need it.
And my question is, Jesus raised some people from the dead after he was resurrected, and it was the first fruits given to the Father, the first fruits of the resurrection, obviously. But were they raised in a physical body or resurrected body? I'm not real clear on this.
The glorified resurrected body, the only one that's had that happen is Jesus, and we will be raised later at his coming, the end of this age. So those people who were raised in the ministry of Jesus ended up dying again. They were just, better word is resuscitated, so to speak, compared to resurrected in the context of the resurrected glorified body. Okay?
Okay.
So they would die again.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. You know, if you were raised from the dead.
So they were running around Jerusalem. People had known they died, and they still denied that they had. I mean, wow.
Well, some did. Some didn't. Wow. You got to remember some people believed, and some didn't believe. But the fact is that just because miracles occur doesn't mean people are going to believe automatically. People have their ways of denying stuff. But a lot of people believed in Jesus. Yeah, a lot of people did. So,
just one thing, that last debate with that other guy on the Calvinist.
Yeah,
I thought he was pretty acrimonious. I thought he was pretty acrimonious, and he should not have attacked you ad hominem. He should have left the argument as it is. He had a lot of ad hominem attacks that just were not fair. Just my two cents. And thank you.
Of course, I called him a heretic because he was, but he was a heretic. You know, he had works of salvation.
Well, that's not an ad hominem attack. That's an attack on his statement.
So it was unfortunate. You know, maybe he'll want to debate me again on something, but you know, he's a Church of Christ person, so the last guy I debated,
yeah,
Church of Christ person, and
all right, thank you,
you know, basically it's a cult. Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bless you.
You too. Well, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Kelly from Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. My question is, according to Colossians 1:16, it says that all things were created by him.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that scripture, that tells us that Jesus is, that demons and the devil are created beings, correct?
They're created beings, yes. They fell of their own free will choice, yes.
So my question is, are we created? Are we created beings, or are we eternal? Because if we can spend eternity in heaven or hell, would that make us eternal?
Okay, we are not eternal in the past sense. We are in the future sense. Once we've come into existence, the attribute of God's eternality, because we're made in his image, is ours. And we will continue on, which is why the Bible speaks of eternal life and eternal destruction. And the destruction is not non-existence, but a conscious torment. So that's how it is. But we're created. We're created by God. We are contingent upon his creative work. Okay?
So the only eternal beings are the Godhead.
God is the only eternal being who has never not existed. He's always existed. Who is non-contingent. Right. He is eternal in his nature.
Okay. Got it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
That was a soft one for you. I didn't call with a hard question today.
No, that was an easy one. Yeah, that's easy.
It was. All right, Matt. Happy New Year.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Why don't you give me a call? Let's get to Pedro from Maryland. Pedro, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there? Pedro? Oh, you know what? I did it again. I had to hit the right button. Oh, man. How you doing, Pedro? Welcome.
Hi, this is Gabriel from Maryland.
I think I might have said
my name in a slurred way.
That's all right. So what do you got, buddy?
So I was trying to kind of find an intersection between science and the Bible, which I know is kind of risky because then you can get into eisegesis. But I was thinking about Adam, and I wanted to run some thoughts past you, see if I'm going off the rails a little bit.
All right.
So, first thought is that when you go through Genesis down to day 6, you have a hard stop. That all of creation exists. You have human beings already in existence before you have Adam.
Wait, where'd you get the idea humans already existed before Adam?
That in Genesis 1:24-1:31, you have day 6 in which you have humanity and all the land animals, the nephesh animals, created.
Yeah.
And then after that you have the Sabbath, and then you have a hard stop, you have the entire poem finished, and then you go into narrative mode with Adam and Eve being created and the garden being created.
Okay, you're reading into the text. That's not what it says. Are you saying that there were men and women before Adam and Eve?
Yes, that's
okay,
part of what I'm asserting.
1 Corinthians 15:45, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. So Adam was the first man.
Right. So what I'm going for with that part is Adam was the first human being with the breath of life in him, the ruach.
Wait a minute. So you had people who are not living souls? Were they zombies?
They're seriously animated. They're
animated.
Humans.
They're animated.
Right. Correct. So
like like
there's a difference
apes.
Between the Holy Spirit and consciousness.
Okay, you are not getting this out of the Bible. There's no way that's okay. in Scripture. You're reading into the text to make it say things it does not say. Period.
Okay.
You need to abandon that. You're going to end up in a conspiratorial heresy if you don't. Okay, somebody's hitting in the background there. Do you understand that this is not biblical, what you're teaching? Excuse me, are you
Well, there? That's part of the reason why I was asking you, yeah, because I figured that you'd be one of the strongest opponents against it.
The Bible doesn't say what you said. It doesn't show anything like that. Okay, that's more like New Age stuff. Okay, mystical, weird stuff.
No, I didn't get it from New Age, I promise you that. It was just my own kind of wanderings.
Part of the reason
for why I think that, and this might also be too much of a retcon, is because Jesus as the second Adam.
No,
I thought
not the second Adam.
That it made.
He's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam.
No, the last Adam. Right.
Yeah. Always.
Okay.
Always be biblical as possible. The last Adam. Right.
The last Adam. Mm-hmm. So Jesus as the last Adam did what Adam could not, or sorry, not could not, but did not do. So part of my theory, it's really important that Adam be physically able to obey the law, but spiritually unwilling to do so, whereas Christ was physically able to obey the law and spiritually willing.
Yeah. What you're doing is you're having a conclusion, and then you're looking for something to find that conclusion, confirmation bias. Uh-huh. Are you tapping on something?
Sorry, I was, yes.
Yeah, okay. When people are driving and they hear different taps that come through the radio, they can confuse them and they, you know, take their eyes off the road trying to figure out what's going on. So, do you have this? What's this verse? What verse are you particularly looking at to get this idea?
It wasn't one particular verse, it was multiple verses. So, it's basically Genesis. I start with Genesis 1:24, go through to 3:6. I hop into Romans 5.
Well, wait. Okay, wait, you're jumping. You said Genesis here. There's nothing in there, Genesis 2:14 through 3:6 or whatever, that says or hints at the idea of pre-Adamic beings. Some people who teach this kind of stuff, I believe, are the Shepherd's Chapel people, but I may be wrong on that one. That's an aberrant teaching. It's not biblical. It's not in Scripture.
But then what about... Okay. So, you say that, and I hear you. Could you just explain to me the strong shift in, I guess, thematic structure, or not story structure, but literary structure between the beginning of Genesis 1 and 2?
It's just, one's a summation. That's all. It's a shorter version of Genesis 2 than Genesis 1. That's all it is. Hold on, we got a break, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Give me a call. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the phone with Pedro. Pedro, okay, now you got a question, though, finally? Oh, that's right.
Yes,
you asked
okay,
about Genesis
so,
1 and 2, and I answered it, but go ahead.
Question, I'll make it short. Is original sin through Adam, is that sort of a logical inclusivity thing where if any man were in Adam's situation, then they would be guilty just as Adam was guilty?
Okay, original sin is a biblical doctrine, which means that in Adam all others fell, which means that he represented all people. and so we all fell in him. People will say that's not fair. He didn't have a right to represent anybody. The biblical revelation from God is that Adam did have that right. In Adam all die. In Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Romans 5:18 says, through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. So we know that Adam represented us, and when he fell, we fell in him. If people want to deny that that's fair, then they also have to deny that it's fair that Jesus represents us on the cross, which would mean then that they're denying the sufficiency and the nature of the atoning work. So ultimately, the reason Adam had the ability to represent everybody is because Christ was going to represent his people on the cross. Adam did not have some inherent right of himself, except for that which is given by God. Ultimately, the redemptive work, which was manifested in the intertrinitarian communion through the eternal covenant of Hebrews 13:20 and the election of God before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, that this is the reason that Adam had that ability to be the representative, just as Christ was the representative. So original sin is a biblical doctrine and rooted in what's called federal headship, male representation. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for tolerating my questions.
No problem, man. Call back again, okay?
Yep. Talk to you later.
All right. Okay, hey folks, we have 4 open lines. If you want to give me a call, I want to hear from you. So please, you can just zip me a line here. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Matt from Wake Forest, North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm fine, Matt. How are you?
you're hanging in there. Okay.
I'm hanging in there.
I listen to your show most nights, but that's my standard answer now, hanging in there.
Amen.
I listen to your show most nights, but you may have already commented on this, and I just haven't heard it, but I was just curious your take on Ravi Zacharias and the fallout and everything that's being said with the investigation. And
right.
I guess I struggle with, as much as he's done in apologetics, and then you look at, if you practice in sin, and was he practicing in sin, and where does that line cross? Because obviously none of us want to sin if we're truly redeemed, and we hate sin and we put it off, and yet we do sin and then we repent of it. And I guess just kind of get your take on how all that seems to be going down, and maybe just kind of see where you're going with it.
For those who don't know, Ravi Zacharias passed away last year, and he was a pretty good apologist. He was very eloquent, good public speaker, traveled a great deal. And after his death, it came out that he was sexually abusing women. And the only reason I'm repeating this is because their ministry has confirmed it. So this is public knowledge. So apparently, some hints of this were coming out before he passed away, and a counter lawsuit was filed, etc. The elders of the church, or the elders involved with the ministry, should have very, very thoroughly investigated it. And I suspect that if they had very thoroughly investigated it, they would have discovered that he was guilty, because he was guilty. So, if they had found out what he was doing and confirmed that he was being abusive in that way, then there are articles that describe some of the things he did in the spas that he owned with the women workers, and inappropriate stuff, which I'm not going to repeat, but you can find in articles, because there might be children listening, etc. And so, if they had found out that this was true, then he would necessarily, immediately, need to be removed from any ministerial positions, period. Now, it's one thing if a person, is suffering from a little bit of ego, a little bit of pride, struggling with it, and preaching and teaching, and every now and then says, oh, that was a great sermon. He goes, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that to myself, That's different than going into an area where women are and divulging yourself and requiring and blah, blah, pictures and blah, blah, blah. So this is the latter is a severe sin that was sought after numerous times without apparent repentance or accountability. So to be honest, he's disqualified from being in the position he was. And this came out after his death. So, you know, that's what it is.
It's definitely, you know, and I certainly don't say this judgmentally toward him, but it's definitely made, it's challenged me that, you know, we sin, and Adrian Rogers always said, I sin, but as a Christian, I'm not sinless, I just sin less.
Right.
I sin as much as I want to, I just don't want to, and obviously it's a challenge daily not to become legalistic, but to love the Lord and allow Him to lead your life, and that's how you live. And it's just challenged me that, is there anything else that I'm somehow, hopefully, not to the level of that, but allowing and excusing and justifying and rationalizing and allowing sin to reign in my body that I'm not putting off and putting on.
Well, one of the things God requires of us is our sanctification. In fact, lately, He's been working on me on my area of sanctification. And there's just been some stuff, you know, between the Lord and myself, and I'm seeking repentance and seeking holiness, and you know, things I would never have done, you know, 40 years ago, you know. But as you grow older, you start realizing more nuances of things you need to struggle about. But the thing is here, not that we want to say, you know, there's, well, I'll put it this way. If there were a pastor who we discovered was committing adultery on a regular basis for a couple, 3 years, obviously he's disqualified. Because the elder must be above repute. He must have a good reputation. And such a thing would be a direct evil. And it is spoken about in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, which is porneia in the Greek, okay, and that's being sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Well, if a pastor were guilty of these, two, three, four of them, whatever, he's disqualified. What about a seminary professor? Would he be disqualified? Yes. What about a Christian apologist? Would he be disqualified? Yes. There's a standard of righteousness we need to adhere to. And Robbie Zacharias apparently failed it miserably in that area. He should have gone to get help and then got back in maybe later. You want to hold on? We got a break, okay?
Okay. All right.
Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, and I want to hear from you, 877-207-2276. Why don't you give me a call? Let's get to Matt. Back to Matt from Wake Forest. Still there?
I'm still here. Yeah, I appreciate the insight. It's just, I know you mentioned sanctification, and it's one of those things that when I look at these allegations that are apparently, like you mentioned, his own ministry is saying, the investigation's already revealing a lot of it is true. Yeah. I think of my own heart and think, you know, it's my heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. And I may not have physically done it, but, you know, I've thought it. And Jesus says that's adultery in your heart. And so I struggle with wanting to be godly and, yeah, still falling short, and then seeing people like that, it's I don't want to keep your time going, but it's just really,
that's all right. We got nobody waiting right now.
Jesus is it, man. I mean, Jesus is it. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The only thing I bring is my sin, and He's the only one I can rely on to cleanse me of that and to give me a new heart and a new nature, and if I have any desire toward Him at all, that's from Him. I praise Him for it.
Right.
I just hate that for His ministry and for the people that are still working there, His family. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it is. This is one of the reasons I repeatedly tell people, do not elevate any person other than Jesus Christ. Don't consider anybody who's a public figure to be good or warrant all this respect and honor. No. The glory needs to go to the Lord Jesus Christ, because all people are sinners and all people will let you down one way or another. Some will have greater deception in their sin, as Ravi Zacharias apparently did, and some will have far less. Not that we are justifying any. It's just that I always tell people, don't put your eyes on the pastor, the preacher, the apologist, the radio guy, the TV guy. Don't do that. If they fall, oh, Christianity's not true. Well, then your hope wasn't in Christ. It was in these people.
Yeah.
And so that's why I tell people all the time. And that way, you know, when I heard about Ravi this way, I went, well, you know, I didn't pass judgment other than his sin was bad. And as someone in the text chat room just said, maybe God took him out because of it. So that's it. We're done. Taking it home. And that could be the case. You know, God showed mercy to him in that respect. I don't know. But it's done, and we need to pray for the survivors of that abuse. And also think about this. What about those people who were abused by him and their view of what Christianity stands for? See, they could be hindered greatly from coming to Christ because of this. And Jesus says, you know, woe to the one who hinders the children from coming to him. You know, better that a millstone be tied around his neck and thrown into the ocean. So, you know, this gets to be complicated, and God will sort it all out. But we need to pray for those survivors of that abuse, and pray that they could be and would find redemption in spite of the great sin that he perpetrated upon them. That's what we want, their salvation. Okay.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
God bless. Have a good night.
Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, we have 5 open lines. Nobody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And someone just wrote something in there in the text chat I want to agree with. Pastors will be judged heavily. You know, I'm a Christian apologist, radio guy, written a lot of stuff, done a lot of stuff. And when it comes to areas of sanctification, you know, publicly, because I got my own personal struggles like we all do, but you know, if I were to be at a place speaking and there was, you know, a need to go to, let's say, a restaurant, and I didn't have a car, and a woman said, well, I'll take you, I would not go in the car with her unless there's a third person there. I just say, I'm sorry, I just can't do that. Because I don't want to provide any opportunity for even the appearance of evil. I just don't want to do that. And I'm very, very careful about that kind of a thing, because many men have fallen that way. I don't want any opportunity for the flesh. And so my wife and I, we talk a lot, not a lot about it, but over the years, you know, we have, you know, I'll fly out someplace and speak and whatever. And I'm always very guarded, very guarded. I don't mind talking to the ladies and the guys and stuff like that. And if we're in groups, not a problem. We drive together in a group, that's fine. But there are just certain things I won't allow happening. If I were in a hotel room, I would never allow a woman to come up to my room, period, unless there was people with us were retrieving something. And then we left. That kind of a thing I would do. We have to make sure that no opportunity for evil can present itself, because those of us who are public figures, we represent Christ, and in a more, well, public way, and we have to be even more careful, and we're just not going to allow this to happen. I remember there was a few weeks where I was talking to a woman regularly and ministering to her a little bit on the phone, and I would tell my wife each time, it was nothing, we weren't there together, it was just the woman and I, just on the phone, she would ask me advice, and I would tell her. So I told her each time. I said, so-and-so called me, we talked about this and this and this. And she always appreciated that. And then after a while, my wife said, you know, you're kind of talking to her a lot. And that was it. Done. And I made sure that nothing would come of that at all, because I was just counseling, but it was about time, you know, be done anyway, and only over the phone. And it was kind of infrequent, but you see, just an example. You don't want to give any opportunity for anything. I don't mind counseling people, and I will. I will never counsel a woman by herself. I'll never be in a room by myself with her. I won't do that. You know, there's got to be a third person there in the house, in the whatever it is. This is what we have to do. We honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not ourselves. And we don't use these things as an excuse to perpetrate immorality upon others or encourage them to participate in that. Never, ever should that be the case. Me agenita in the Greek. Okay, well, let's get on the phone with Phil from Pennsylvania. Phil, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Love your show.
Oh, thank you. Glad you're
long time listener.
Good, thanks.
Just had a question. So, how many scripture verses would you recommend someone learn to be really sharp apologetically, know the word, be able to give it a good defense for the faith? Like I'm an everyday Christian, busy schedule, running a small business, and I want to learn the word, but my schedule is so filled up, I'm often thinking I need to spend more time in the word. I want to know the word of God better, and you know, what kind of books should I read to, you know, learn different religions and stuff like that.
Okay, so you have a particular question? Because you asked several things in there. So,
yeah, so the everyday Christian, how can we know the Word of God better? Should we be memorizing,
studying it,
you know, hundreds of scriptures? And
okay, what I do, I can only tell you what I do, is because I'm called to this, I develop outlines. And so I have numerous outlines on numerous topics that are hundreds of pages, thousands of pages total, probably, maybe up to 1,000 pages total, these outlines that I work on, you know, different topics. This is just what I do. The reason I do outlines is because I don't have a good enough memory to memorize more and more scriptures. There seems to be, for me, about a 500-verse limit, and then I kind of, 400 to 500, and I kind of, you know, the more I've got, the more that comes out the other side. And so the only reason I can even keep those going is because I'm on the radio a lot, debating a lot, writing scriptures a lot. And I've been doing this for 41 years, so I've got hundreds where I know what the references are and things like that. And I'm still trying to learn more all the time. In Matthew 18:22, I just learned. And I'm trying to get those. Plus, I'm trying to learn surahs, you know, Surah 4, 157, out of the Quran, you know, and Surah 354, and various surahs that I know what they mean just by saying them and trying to get to that level. I have certain things in the Book of Mormon I'm memorizing. I need to get on the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower organization stuff. There's just so much to learn. Well, I'm different because I, you know, I'm a more public figure and do multiple topics that I got to get into. You know, I'm learning stuff about Catholicism all the time, too. All right. What do you do if you want to just kind of start out and just get better? Well, what you do is you ask God to strain you, to test you, to stretch you, whatever it is. You might be praying this for a couple of 3 days. There'll be a knock on the door. You might have some Jehovah's Witnesses there. And the next thing you know, for 3-4 weeks, you're talking to them. Well, that's what he wants you to study then, isn't it? And you just develop verses that answer their questions, and you start studying those things. And you can do what I used to do. Carry a piece of paper with me, and I put the verse on the left, you know, like 1 Peter 2:24, and then write it out. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, and might die to sin, and with the righteousness for body strived we are healed. And I would have that there, and I would go over these in the spare time and stuff like that. Hold on, we got a break. We'll get back to more of it in a little bit. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Looks like we lost Phil. Now let's just jump over to Andrew from Raleigh, North Carolina. Andrew, you are on the air.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
It's going.
Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I just graduated college in the military, and I sent a church block, going to church block fasting, and I'm at the point now where I have to take my career and, you know, you're just like a technical for what
you want to do after going to officer school in the military.
Okay.
And so I got a, and this has been in the past, but I just got a call into potentially going to the chaplain corps, and you know, that's military. A stark difference from what I thought I was going to do.
Okay.
So my, I guess my question was, is how can I better discern this last few days of fasting we're doing this week?
That you're called to be a chaplain?
Yes.
Well, it's like a calling to any ministry. There's the internal and the external call. These are vague, but they're true. An internal call is something that occurs in you. You feel led to serve God. You feel led to do certain things. I feel led, for example, to answer questions, to study, and to debate and teach. So I feel led in that area called apologetics. Well, if you feel led in the military to minister to the men and women under your command and to the base as a whole, then that's a godly thing. If it consists, if it continues, then it's probably from God. One of the things I will do when I pray is, say there's a new desire I have in my heart and it's on me for a couple, 3 days. What I'll do is start praying about it. Lord, if this is from my flesh, please let it go away. If it's from you, please let it increase. And for the most part, with me, things decrease. Because we only do so much. I'm pretty busy as it is. But that's the general method. I want to lay it before God and say, Lord, if it's from you, increase that desire in my heart. Or just have it be sustained. If it's not from you, let it go away. And then I'll ask for the issue of the external call. Lord, if it is from you, please open those doors. And if it's not from you, then please close those doors. It's that general principle, the internal and the external, to increase or decrease the desire in my heart to open or close the doors around me. But the thing is that sometimes you may have a super increased desire to be, for example, be a chaplain. And it's just burning in your heart, and you just know it's from God, and all the doors close. Well, then what you do is you just trust God. Because if that desire is so strong, you trust Him. Say, Lord, at the right time, you'll open the door. And then you start preparing. Because you'll know this desire from... fleshly desires aren't things like, hey, I want to be a chaplain. Unless you want to be a chaplain to get rank or to get status or to have power over people, whatever, then that would be ungodly. And you got to check yourself on those. And if those reasons and stuff like that, sinful reasons, aren't there, well then, okay, it's from God. Then you got to trust Him at the right time. And sometimes it takes years before the right door opens, because if you're like me and you have a thick skull, it takes a little bit longer for God to get through. Okay?
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, great. Well, great. Okay. No, thank you for saying the internal and the external kind of way you kind of explained that, kind of the desire and then the doors. Okay. Thank you for that. So, yeah, I was just tuned in, and I figured, why not? You said you had a bunch of open lines, so anyhow.
Right.
And I appreciate your guidance on that.
Well, let me ask you something. What branch of the service are you in?
I'm in the Coast Guard.
Okay, good. And how long have you been in?
It's coming up on 5 years.
All right.
Coming up on five.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to just say thanks for your service, and appreciate it. We need more people like you in the military. We do. So, just want to say thanks.
Well, great. Hey, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, God bless.
Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Praise God. You know, my dad was in the military. I never was, but he was in World War II in the Navy. He was in Korea in the Army, and he went to Vietnam in the Air Force, believe it or not. How about that? I got to hear some of his war stories along with some of his buddies from the different branches, and they were interesting stories. All right, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mark from North Carolina. Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, it's good to talk to you again. I was wanted to, a friend, a brother in Christ called in and asked a good way to understand his Bible better. Someone, a pastor, gave me the best advice I've ever been given, and I wanted to share that. I hope he's still listening. But do a subject study when you study your Bible. In other words, when you read your New Testament all the way through, pick out two or three subjects, and every time you see that subject, say the day of the Lord is a subject. Day of judgment, for example. Every time you see baptism, write those things down and put them in a line, chapter and verse. Go back when you finish reading your New Testament and then look at every one of those verses together, and it will open your eyes. It was the best advice I've ever been given on how to understand God's Word. It really helped me, and I hope it helps him.
Well, good. Yeah, there are different ways of studying the Bible. Mine's different than that.
Right.
But, but kind of similar, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, that's good advice. What I do is I have a speech recognition program. I type quickly, and I have all kinds of tools. I have four 27-inch 4K monitors. I mean, I get into it, and I'll open stuff up, and I just go to town.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have a topic, like, say, baptism, I can look up the baptizo in every single instance in the New Testament. I can see how it's used in the Old Testament Septuagint version and relate words. I love doing that kind of stuff, and that's one of the ways.
Oh, I do, too. Yeah, it's, you know, when the more you understand about God's Word, the more you want to know, and you just study that much harder. I had a pastor, bless his heart, a good friend of mine, he's retired now, but I was talking to him about the Day of the Lord, and he said, well, the Day of the Lord is 7 years. And I thought,
no, it's not.
Well, it's in the Bible 27 times, and
really?
I'm thinking, have you ever read those passages? It's one day. It's a day. But I couldn't believe he told me that. But, of course, he believes in a pre-trib rapture. And, for the listeners out there, there is no pre-trib rapture. So, read your Bible and study your Bible.
Day of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to find this out. Day of the Lord.
It's five times in the New Testament. Five times in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
22 times in the Old Testament. And every passage, it talks about a day. Just like in Acts, it says the day has appointed a day that he's going to judge the world in righteousness.
Well, I see 28 times when I did a quick search on my Bible program.
Okay, well,
phrase.
It may be. I'm sorry. I thought it was 27.
No. Oh, no. It's just that if it's 27, that's interesting because it's 3 cubed. 3 times 3 times 3 is 27. And I like number patterns and things like that. Cause I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that stuff. So
I love talking to you. You're a wise man, and I enjoy you. You're so much closer to understanding God's Word, and I don't think any of us understand all of it, but you're so much closer than so many of these pastors out here that teach God's Word. And I never knew how little they actually knew until I started studying God's Word and seeing what the truth was. So, I mean, I hate to say that. You know, I don't want to disappoint people, but some of the most famous pastors in the world have no clue on the end times. None.
Well, you know, when I was teaching Bible study up to about a year ago, I had a weekly Bible study in person. I would go to a church and teach. And I warn people when I start, I say, look, the longer you study with me, the less you're going to, probably the less you will understand or appreciate your pastor's sermons. And I said, I'm not trying to cause problems. I'm not saying I'm better than them. You're just going to start learning things, and you're going to start listening and going, wait a minute, what about this? What about that? It's going to happen. And sure enough, people come back to me after 5 or 6 months saying, you know what? What you said was right. And it's not, I'm not trying to make it bad for people. It's just you start listening. You go, wait a minute, that's not really kosher, you know? Or he could have said this. I remember once I went to a church. And I was checking a different church a while back, and I went to this church, and of all the passages that he was going to speak on, it was on Colossians 3:1-5, which is tremendously rich and deep. And I remember thinking, this is going to be awesome. And he barely skirted over the top. Didn't dip down into the depths of it, and kept going through stuff. And I remember I just ended up halfway through the sermon, all three quarters, I just walked out and said, I'm just done.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I want all this Greek exegesis. It's like, dude, you didn't even get into what it means to die with Christ. It's right there. Your life is, you've died. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. What does that mean? It's just so beautiful.
It is. The Bible is alive. And the more you read it, the more you realize it. The book is alive.
It's alive.
And you can read it a million times, and you'll still get something out of it every time you read it.
That's right. That's right. You are so true. Good for you, brother. Good for you.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Okay, brother, God bless. Okay. All right, let's get to Braden from Twin Falls, Idaho, because I know who it is. I forgot to call him back. Braden, what's up?
How are you doing, Matt?
Good, man. I forgot to call you back. I was just thinking about it this morning. Oh, man, I got to call Braden back.
You need to go and repent and give
yes,
me a phone
I
call
That's
when
right.
next time I call you.
That is so true. Oh, sorry about that, buddy. How are you doing?
No worries. Doing good. How about you?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in there. Good. How's the wife and kid?
They are doing very well. Very, very well.
Well, I'll tell you, last two times I've been over your house, I've enjoyed it and enjoyed the meal. And
you
the
need
fellowship.
To come back soon.
Well, you guys got to invite me out there, you know.
You know what? You got to not be on your keto diet next time, and we can enjoy some some really good food.
Yeah, I'm off of it now, giving it a try.
Yeah,
I
got
to find a way to lose some weight. My wife showed me a picture of a guy who's 63. He's all buff and got abs. And I'm like, yes, dear. what do you want me to do? I can't
That's
do that.
Funny.
How come you don't look like him? Because he's smart and intelligent. I'm not. That's why. He knows what
and
he's
And those
doing.
People usually have a little bit more time to be at the gym than
some people, like myself. That is so true. That's an excuse. I like that one. I'm going to use it.
That's what I always say.
Hey, did they enjoy the preaching there when I was there?
Oh, yes, they did. They really, really did. It was a blessing for sure. It was absolutely a blessing. Thank you again for doing that. They have said that they want to have you come back up and do another.
Oh, I guess they weren't listening to me then. They want me back. Wow.
I'm just lying. They didn't like it at all. They
okay, that makes sense. All right, this is the Braden I know. Okay, good
That's
stuff.
Right.
Got, okay,
sorry,
so.
I know that I'm online. So,
so what do you got, man?
So I had a quick question, and it's regarding the kenosis theory. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yep, that's correct.
So I recently talked with somebody that has been teaching this or adheres to the kenosis theory in such a way that they're even almost getting at the point that Jesus is still not omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent as of right now on the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, that's a heresy. We're about out of time. Let me save the answers. Give me a call. Give me a call in 5 minutes. We'll talk on the phone.
Sounds good. Have a good
I'll talk about
day.
What it is tomorrow, too, so people know what the kenosis is.
Check.
Okay? All right, we're out of time. Darn.
Yep.
It's a good topic, so this we can talk about tomorrow. Hey, folks, darn, we're out of time. That was Braden. He's a great guy. And may the Lord bless you all, and I hope that by his grace, you'll listen tomorrow. And we'll just talk to you then. See you. God bless.